WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively here on Radio Row and doing our thing. I'll say this. I miss the faces, but Zoom has brought me some people here. Luke is back on the homestead doing all. Steve Bisciotti, Dick Cass, Sashi Brown, Eric DaCosta, Mike McDonald, John Harbaugh, and at some point even some Greg Roman. This guy does some football. He's been doing a long, long time up in New York. Author, usually sitting next to me on Radio Row. This is my 28th Super Bowl. This is a guy here I'm sure has done more than 28. I'm going to let him tell you about it. Gary Myers joins us now. New book coming out on the Giants, and I guess there'll be some Parcellsian and stuff that really the Belichick era grew out of that as well. And his books on Brady and man, I hit you to come on about Brady's retirement because I didn't do any of that. And I guess the league's circle of information is so much, it's almost ancient news now, Tom Brady stepping down, right?
Yeah, I mean, it became a 12-hour story because the same day that he announced his retirement officially when the Brian Flores lawsuit came out. So Brady carried the morning and Flores basically ever since.
Well, Flores, yes. And then there's all that the league wants to avoid. There's actually a football game here with, you know, two number one overalls and all of that. I guess at some point we'll get to that. But the oxygen in the room about throwing games and how African-American coaches have been treated, this is not a new topic, Gary, that we're taking on at this point, but the owners don't change. Lots about the game changes, but the owners don't change, do they?
Well, I mean, the history of this league in terms of hiring minority coaches is not anything that the NFL can be very proud of. Certainly, there were three African-American coaches last year. Two of them got fired, and now Mike McDaniel was hired by the Dolphins, and he's biracial. And Lovie Smith is being hired by the Texans. He's African-American, so they get the numbers back up, but it's still not anywhere near it where it needs to be, considering, you know, Nestor, the league is 75% African-American players, and assistant coaches probably make up 30 to 40% of these staffs, but the minority is not well represented in the head coach's office for sure.
Well, the Giants being implicated, John Elway being implicated, receipts being implicated on the back end of what Dan Snyder has been involved in, and Congress getting involved. The next thing would be we were throwing games. We were trying to not win so that we could get our own Joe Burrow.
Well, I think we can look at some teams over the years and see what their approach was. Getting rid of veteran players, either cutting them or trading them, and certainly giving every indication they were going after the first pick in the draft. I mean, that's a philosophy that could possibly work. And I'm not saying Cincinnati did that, but if you wind up with Joe Burrow and being the Super Bowl in his second year, I think sacrificing a season or two is probably worth it.
That's well, ownership's different. Been pitching that to fans across all the sports, right?
Right.
But we're going to have a fire sale now, and we're going to grow later, but we're going to be involved in gambling on it now, which is, you know, that's probably the new part of this. I mean, the rebuilding efforts and all of that. I've been hearing that for years, right? But then there's the, are you trying to win today, and I'm gambling on this, and are you committed to losing before the game begins?
Well, the thing that Brian Flores alleged with Steve Ross offering him $100,000 per loss, that takes us to a completely different level than general managers and coaches with the approval of the owners, you know, stripping down the roster to try to accumulate more draft picks and then potentially have a pick at the top of the draft. Or offering financial incentive for your coach to lose. If that turns out to be accurate, then not only should Ross, you know, be fined and suspended, but potentially thrown out of the league, because that hits at the very heart of what the NFL continues to insist they're all about, which is the integrity of the competition. And you can't possibly rationalize an owner offering his coach money to lose. Now, So did this happen? I mean, I can't say that I have the answer to that, but you wonder, you know, everybody says, I don't know Brian Flores, but everybody says he's a great guy. He's an honest guy. So where would this be coming from, Nestor, if it didn't happen? You just can't make something like this up because it's so outrageous that it's hard to believe. So you say, okay, well, maybe this is an extenuating circumstance and Ross offered him the money. On the other hand, Steve Ross vehemently denied it. And he didn't get to be a billionaire in the business world by being, now he hasn't been a grain odor because they haven't won there, but you'd have to think he'd be smart enough not to offer his coach financial incentive to lose games. So somewhere in there, I don't know who it is, but somebody is clearly lying. And I'm hoping that the NFL is committed to doing an investigation on this particular subject. I mean, they have a ton of work to do as far as the minority coaches in that area. But I hope they do a full investigation on this allegation that an owner offered money to a coach to intentionally lose games.
Gary Myers is here. He is our guest. He's usually here on Radio Row. I'm sorry, I interrupted your final thought on that.
Well, go ahead. That's what pretty much.
No, it's fine. Gary's usually here. Tell everybody what you're up to these days. I mean, you're writing books and obviously still covering the league at a high level. How many Super Bowls for you? This is unusual not seeing you here, Gare.
Yeah, this is the last couple I haven't come to. You know, I left the Daily News. It'll be almost 4 years now. It I don't know if it seems longer or shorter. But
how many years were you there? 30?
I was there for 29 years.
All right, wow.
And I covered 37 consecutive Super Bowls, going back to my days in Dallas.
What was your first one?
My first one was Joe Montana's first one. And I told Joe he only got to three more, and I got to 36 more after him.
Did you get stuck in the snow, or were you there?
No, I was actually happened to be on a bus that got to the stadium. I got to the stadium before the 49ers did. You know, so... Yeah, so I covered an awful lot of them. And honestly, I've been coming the last few years, not last year, but the year before and the year before that, because the Hall of Fame vote would be the day before the game. So I'd come in just to go to our Hall of Fame meeting. But the last 2 years now, we've done it on Zoom. And I think it's going to continue that way for the foreseeable future. And quite honestly, Nestor, I mean, I know you look forward to going to Super Bowls. It's a good opportunity to network and reacquaint yourself with friends and people you've seen over the years and maybe only see once a year. But I'm very happy writing books now and kind of working as my own boss.
Gary, it's 82 outside here. I'm telling you right now.
Well, let me tell you something. It's going to be about 83 or 85 where I'm going to be Sunday watching the game. So I'm going with my wife on vacation. And we're going to be at a beautiful resort, have reservations to watch the game at a big screen TV at a restaurant on the beach. So,
and you saw 37 of them in person, so it's going to work out. It's going to work
out. I did. I saw some of the great games in NFL history. And, you know, you just reach a point. Anybody does in their career. Tom Brady just, I'm not comparing myself to him, but, you know, you reach a point where it just doesn't have the same attraction to you anymore. And you've kind of accomplished what you wanted in that part of your life. And it's time for some new challenges. And I'm sure, you know, that's what he's feeling at this point. And that's what I was feeling 4 years ago, that I was just ready to do some other things and still keeping my hand involved in covering football has been great because that's where I spent 40 years of my life.
Well, you know, I saw Sam Farmer walk by here, and I want you to talk about this because you really cover the league issues at a high level, owners' meetings and whatnot. I mean, I was at the owners' meetings when Stan Kroenke screwed Missouri to bring the team out here. I was there when the Carson thing fell apart for Spanos and for Al Davis. I was there when Al Davis moved the franchise at the Biltmore to Las Vegas, Mark Davis did that. So, and obviously the Baltimore side of me with Irsay and Modell and moving franchises. But I saw Sam. He's one of the first guys I saw here on Radio Row early Monday morning. He was walking over to, I think he was doing Bruce Murray and Rich Gannon show on Sirius. And I saw him and I said, man, how many owners meetings did I see you where this was all one big wet dream in the minds of the NFL? They were going to bring football back to LA. They were going to lock Mark Davis out, lock the Raiders out of here. They were going to have a Super Bowl. They were going to build a stadium. Somebody else was going to pay for it, right? Like this dream of California football and Los Angeles football. And Gary, I got to tell you, the first day I came here, we had to get our credentials all the way at the other end of the convention center. And they have the experience here, as you know. And I saw thousands of fans as I walked through. Black people, white people, old people, young people, males, females, all wearing Aaron Donald jerseys or Jalen Ramsey or Jared Goff in some cases or Stafford. And then finally at the end, I saw two lone people wearing Chargers jerseys as I walked, through the end of all of this. It really is amazing for all the years you've covered the sport. Now, this is my 31st year on radio. We didn't have a football team in Baltimore when I began doing sports radio. And all these years in of what LA really became, and that this Super Bowl, this time with this team that they loaded up, gave draft picks away, they really went all in to be in this Super Bowl, to have it in the new stadium and all of that. This is their dream, right? This all along, they made it. It's almost like it was scripted.
Well, yeah. I mean, all the moves they've made were designed to get to the Super Bowl this year. They have a very short window, I think, to sustain success. But, certainly started with Jalen Ramsey and then Stafford and Von Miller and getting Odell Beckham for free. I mean, that, it doesn't cost him a draft choice. And he looks to me every bit as good as he did when he played for the Giants in the first few years of his career, that he has his quickness back after the knee surgery and a bunch of other injuries earlier in his career. How long they can keep the band together, I don't know. It's not cheap to do this because these guys are accomplished players that eat up a lot of salary cap. But, certainly if there's a year they wanted to go to the Super Bowl and they were aiming to get to the Super Bowl, it was this year because the game's in the stadium that Stan Kroenke built for $5 billion. So I'm sure he's, the toast of the town, so to speak, this week in L.A., and his team is playing in his stadium in the biggest game of the year.
So the $900 million they have to write to St. Louis won't hurt so bad is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty big check he's got to write there, right?
I don't think there's any doubt about that. Hey, Gary, tell everybody about the Giants book. How many books now? I mean, I originally reached you about the Brady Manning. And by the way, I love the posters behind you. The Room Raider, they look like movie posters. Pretty cool, man.
It is. My son actually did that for me. He got the covers of the book and blew them up and put them in frames. So it's pretty cool. The Giants book, tentatively titled The Brotherhood, it'll be coming out somewhere around the start of the 2023 season. It's about how these players got bonded by the ring, that, 35 years later, so many of them are still best friends. A lot of them still live in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area. But in addition to that, Nestor, it's how they've helped take care of those among them who needed help, either financially or otherwise. And I'm also going to get into life after football, which is such a big topic for players that played in the past, the present, and the future. Is what is their life going to be like when they're 40, 45, 50 years old? And in the case of the 86 Giants, around 60 years old, and how they've coped with the physical ailments that they fought their way through to have NFL careers. So,
boy, the league doesn't like books like that, do they?
Well, I think they've come to realize, what a huge issue this is. Not only concussions, but a lot of these guys having trouble with just having an everyday life where they can walk around, lift their grandkids, that kind of stuff. So, I've wanted to do a book about life after football. And instead of cherry picking players around the league and bringing it all together in a book, I decided to just concentrate on one team, which happens to be the most beloved of all the New York Giants Super Bowl teams. Was Belichick and Parcells, and I should have said Parcells before Belichick because it was his team, LT and Sims and Carl Banks and Harry Carson, Leonard Marshall, and so many big name players that are all going to be interviewed for this book. That I think is going to be very entertaining, but also informative and in some cases fascinating and enlightening.
Well, Well, also, you know, a story, Meggett was a guy that played, you know, Towson had a Baltimore side. Sean Landetta had, you know, Baltimore connections as well. Belichick has Baltimore connections from Navy and Annapolis and his father and all that. Gary Myers, you can always find him out on the internet and anywhere good books are sold and good guests stop by. Miss you out here, but I'll have some Korean barbecue without you and enjoy the 82 degrees. And I'll be thinking of you and your wife enjoying yourself after 37 Super Bowls, taking one off. And maybe I can sit in your seat this year, Gare.
You can have it.
Hey, I appreciate you, man. Good luck with the new book. It's always great to have you visit, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Nestor. Take care.
Gary Myers, the man, the myth, the legend, longtime New York Daily News. I knew him from Inside the NFL on the HBO program back with Nick Bonacani and Len Dawson back in the days. You can find us all week long. I'm out here in L.A. We're doing things. We're all brought to you by our friends at Coons Ford, Security Boulevard. Dennis will be around this week. I got koozies from Wise Markets, hats from Liberty Pure, keeping my water clean around here, as well as our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Bringing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out beginning March 4th at Mama's on the Half Shell. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. More from Radio Row in Los Angeles, California, right after this.